Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I forgot. One.
You forgot.
Two,
ready?
Three. Four.
Four. Five.
Six.
Seven. Eight.
Shlemiel. Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. Yeah. Can you tell we rehearsed for hours and hours?
Yeah. Again? I didn't know you were going to go so slow. I thought you were like a song.
It was an afterthought. Dave. Should have talked about it before we went on while we were chit-chatting.
We should have.
Instead of wasting time talking about our personal lives. Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Radio. We have personal lives? Erie House Radio. We have goats. Erie House Radio, and we're continuing with Dying on the Radio. Not the usual kind, but rather...
Boy, we sure did that, didn't we?
Yeah, each and every night that we're here. Every weekend. Count on failure. At least we're consistent. Do more radio programs, this time about dying on radio.
Yeah. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got some really cool retro but yet science fiction story coming up in Crisis. And then another radio tale coming to us from Quiet Please.
Yeah, and I was thinking a little bit more yesterday. I mentioned Play Misty for me was, you know, Clint Eastwood was a disc jockey with the stalker woman coming after him.
Yeah.
It started off with her calling in. That was her request, to play Misty for her. And things went wild from there, wild and wonky. But an actual death on the radio, a very poignant scene comes to mind from Stephen King's television marathon of The Stand. What's her name? She played Annie Wilkes, Dave. She was the woman that broke James Caan's leg in Misery. What's her name? I keep wanting to say Charlotte Ray. It's not Charlotte Ray.
No.
What the hell? Help us out. Where's CW when we need her? She's in the chat, at least.
She's in the chat. Yep. Tell us, CW.
Cursing us because Blog Talk did not give her a radio button. There's supposed to be a way to call in directly from the page. Kathy Bates, thank you. Anyway, Kathy Bates plays a real brief role in The Stand as a disc jockey named Ray Flowers, okay? And she's kind of the government's going all crazy and doing, like, bad things to people because of the, pandemic, you know, abusing power. They came in and shot her because she wouldn't shut up.
Ah.
You know what I mean? She kept saying, watch out for the military. They're letting people get through and they're killing them and rah, rah, rah.
Offer me money, I'll shut up. That's all, you know, I'm always in the wrong business.
Well, no, they were kind of offering her life with a gun to her head, and she wouldn't stop doing what she thought was proper broadcasting. Kathy Bates is great. She's so versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like her a lot in the American Horror Story, the various characters she's played.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's getting up there, but boy, she could still act.
Act.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, that's the thing. I've known that the older actors don't necessarily lose their acting ability. They just don't get the opportunities to in general.
Yeah.
That's why when certain shows like, remember when Ellery Queen was on in the 70s, a ton of actors that never got to act anymore got to show up there, which made that show, I think, that much cooler. The guest list made it that much cooler.
It's a venue for nostalgia, in as much as the storytelling, but with those great old actors too, at the same time.
Yeah.
Hillary Queen. God, I had forgotten about that. That's been a long time.
Yeah. And there were radio inventions. I keep having them on the list, and I kind of keep pushing them down, things like that. It just, the television version was done so well. The radio version was okay had it not been for me seeing the television version. And the early TV version, I didn't think was really that good. But I loved how they showed the thing and they stopped it and gave you the chance to figure out who done it. Before they gathered everyone together to do. Now they kind of did that on radio. It's what they had with Radio Dale is they had a guest or two guests on, the celebrity type guests who would be on to try and guess who done it on the radio version. I just don't think the stories were told quite as well as what they told them on the Jim Hutton version.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody likes a good mystery. Everybody likes a good mystery. And there's some mystery, I think, into our tales tonight.
Oh, there's a definite mystery, yeah. You know, and just as a fair warning, many of the quiet pleases, although most of them have been preserved, they were on old acetate records, and you can hear that. And sometimes the acetate surface noise gets a little loud, but it is all still listenable. So I did want to warn everybody about that. As much as I try to clean things up, there's only so much I can do.
Yeah. CW points out that Murder, She Wrote had that same flavor. You got the actors like Gene Fonda, Lily Tomlin. Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Anywho,
yep.
We got a Golden Age and a Silver Age program tonight, and a lovely and delightful co-host.
Ah, yes. Still trying to find those mythical, magical radio buttons that blocked what they exist.
Yep,
they don't.
Yep.
They lied.
If I didn't know better, I'd say that this were April Fool's Day weekend, you know, because I think they're just yanking our chains with that changes.
Yeah, I guess. It's insane.
Precisely. So, everyone, if you don't want to use your precious cellular service or what have you, just, throw your phone out there, your device around in the air. You're surely going to get a Burger King free Wi-Fi signal, such as I, and call up free of charge on Burger King. As they say, have it your way.
Have it your way. Have it your way.
That sounds nearly impossible, Burger.
Wait. Oh, yes, nearly impossible.
Nearly impossible. There's a piece of rat in it. Hey.
Yeah. Can you call the health board?
Yeah, that was probably not.
Hello, everyone. Finally joined the show. I had to do it the old-fashioned way. I had to hop on the Wi-Fi, hop on the smart device, and then hop into the chat this way.
Yep. And we're darn glad that you did. We've got Fogsbane and good old Bob in the chat with us. Thank you, Jim.
Hello.
Always love the live reactions, and we're looking forward to your reaction. Where will we start? Shall we start in the Golden Age and move our way up?
We could do that.
Oh,
we could do that.
Yes, let's do it.
Starting with the good old quiet please.
A Night to Forget. A tempting title.
And it's this episode number 42 of the series, and does come to us from March 22nd of 1940 and 8.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please.
Quiet, please. Poor goat.
Did you need your battery? Oh, we got
goat has a... The goat has a cold.
Thank you. The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please for tonight is called A Night to Forget. Excuse me. It's dark in here. I can't find a doggone light. Where's the lights?
There aren't any lights, John H.
Who's that?
It's me.
What'd you say about the lights?
I said there aren't any lights.
Well, there's got to be.
Not in here, John H.
Well, isn't this Studio 15?
You kidding? This is the morgue.
That was last night. I think it was a dream. I remember I went to bed early because I had to get up so early this morning to get that stuff to Ted before he takes off for California. I drank a bottle of ginger ale with some lemon juice. I read Variety for about 15 minutes. Then I went to sleep. Must have been no later than 10:30. And this happened. You know how it is sometimes when you get in a dream and you don't think you're dreaming, and when you wake up, you wonder whether it happened or not? Well, I was walking down the hall to Studio 15 for this broadcast, and when I went in, it was all dark. And I stumbled around trying to find the lights, and I hit my shin on something, and then this voice in the dark talked to me.
You kidding? This is the morgue.
I'll be darned if I can figure it out. I think it was a dream, all right. But my shin hurts where I barked it. And it's all black and blue. I woke up, and I lay there quite a while. You know, half dopey, trying to figure it out. I turned the lights on finally, and I was right there in my room with my shin hurting me. I know I hadn't been out of bed because I was all wound up in the covers. And I couldn't get back to sleep again. You know how it is? You have a nightmare and you're afraid to go back to sleep because you might have another one, a worse one. Well, listen. I was just lying there in my own room with the lights on, looking at the ceiling and trying to think. And it began to get dark. No, the lights didn't go out. Yeah, I could see the lights, but it was dark. Everything just sort of faded, like in a movie, you know? And pretty soon it was black dark. I tried to get up, but I couldn't. And I just lay there, flat on my back, in the dark and the silence, and I was scared.
Doesn't he look nice?
Beautiful.
He's got that blue and white shirt on that I gave him.
I wish I could have got that tie from him in time. I always liked that tie.
It is pretty. He certainly looks nice.
Certainly does.
Look, will you two please get out of my room?
What'd you say, John H?
I said get out of my room.
Why, this isn't your room, John H.
Now, look.
Of course it isn't.
Now, look, if I have to get up and chase you out of here...
Right, John H. You know you can't get off.
Of course you can't.
You're dead, John H.
And then it got, well, undark. And pretty soon it was just the same as it was before I fell asleep. If I did fall asleep. Look, I'm a hard-headed guy, even if I do work on supernatural radio shows. You don't want to believe this stuff. You go nutty. Only, well, sometimes... I always sleep in pajamas. Both halves. I put on my pajamas when I went to bed last night. Red and white striped Textron. Yeah. Well, when I woke up, or when it got... undark again. I was wearing a blue and white shirt I never saw in my life. And I was wearing a hand-painted Countess Mara necktie that I never saw before either. So this is too good. Somebody's playing funny jokes on me. I love practical jokers. In a pig's eye, I do. Radio's full of practical jokers. All sorts of bum gags, like Don Amici used to do when he was a radio actor. You used to be reading a commercial, giving a this and that. Don would come up behind you and start to take your coat off. So, you know you can't stop when you're on the air and you have to make with this thing. So you'd wiggle around, the first thing you'd have your coat. Then he'd unbutton your suspender buttons, take off your necktie. You can't do a thing but keep that old smile in your voice and go about locked in goodness and please, Mrs. Housewife, buy the large economy size and holding onto your pants with one hand and it's all very, very funny. Especially if the sponsor's sitting there in the booth looking at you. So I say to myself, some practical joker. Only I add a couple of adjectives to that. Only thing is, how did he get the lights to go out? I lie there a while and I think and I try to figure it out. And I shut my eyes, I guess. Anyway, when I open them, it was dark again. I am walking around in the dark. And the ground is springy underfoot. There's a cool wind blowing. What are those things? Those white things? Why, they look like gravestones. They are gravestones.
Will you stand to one side, please, Johnny?
Excuse me.
I gotta get to work, see? This is an extra special rush job. I gotta get it done right away. Did you say something, Johnny?
I was just going to ask you, what is this place?
My goodness, John H., this is a cemetery.
Cemetery?
Certainly. Would you move your foot a little?
What am I doing in a cemetery?
What do people usually do in a cemetery, John H.?
What are you doing?
Me? I'm just chiseling your name on this gravestone.
And there it was, laid out in chalk on the gravestone. John H. And I shut my eyes. When I opened them again, I was lying on my bed. Well, you know what people mean when they say their mind reels. Oh, boy, I do. I rubbed my eyes and I felt like sand on my fingers. It wasn't sand, though. It was marble dust. And brother, I was shivering. This kind of nightmare is a little too real. Then the telephone rang. And so I got up to answer it. Mind you, I was awake. Well, I know I was. All the lights were on. I got up and I picked up the receiver. And I said, hello? Hello?
Sure is too bad, isn't it?
Sure is. I never heard of such a thing.
Hello? Hello?
Poor old John H.
This is John H. Hello?
Poor old L, I'd say. It's tougher on him than on John H.
L? L who?
L April. You know, the sound effects man.
Oh, I didn't know his name.
Who is this? Hello!
Yes, he feels pretty awful about it.
Well, I should think he would.
Who is...
killing a man. He didn't mean to, you dope. I know it, but just the same, poor old John H.
He didn't know it was loaded. I mean, loaded with bullets. Matter of fact, there was just the one bullet.
One was enough.
Right on the air, too.
Yeah. I bet that was the first time a radio audience ever heard a real killing.
Yeah.
Hello. I want to know who this is.
What about its commercials? You know?
John H., you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm auditioning for the big one tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah, they called me this morning.
Gee. I wonder if I could get in on that.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're going to pick me. I think I'll try anyway. Sure you won't mind? No, oh no. Well, I'll see you. As poor old John Hayes. Yeah, too bad, wasn't it? So long.
Who is that? Hello? Hello, hello.
Yes, sir?
You got me in on a crossed wire or something.
Oh, no, sir.
Well, when you rang me, I picked up the phone
well,
and...
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I didn't ring you.
What?
Well, I haven't had a call for you all evening.
Now, that wasn't a nightmare. Or a dream. That happened. Even if the operator did say she didn't ring me. Whoever it was playing a joke on me, they fixed it with the operator so she'd say that. Didn't they? All right, that's the way I figured it, too. So, this was about 11:30. At 12:30, the manager of the hotel called me on the phone.
I hate to wake you up at this hour of the night, John H., but I thought maybe radio registry or somebody might have called you and couldn't get you, see? And I know how important it is for people on the radio to get their calls. And...
What are you talking about?
Why, I just thought you might want to call registry and see if they've been trying to get you, see?
I don't get it.
Oh, excuse me. See, something happened to our telephones about 10 o'clock, and nobody's been able to get a call in or out of the hotel since then, and I...
Practical jokers might have got to the manager, too. But this morning when I came downstairs, I found he wasn't kidding. The phones had been out for 2.5 hours. Something blew up in the switchboard or something. Well, that's carrying a practical joke an awful long ways, isn't it? Yeah. That's one night I won't forget, believe me. Yeah, but I gotta stop this kind of talk. And this kind of thinking. I will forget it. Heck, it was probably a lot of nightmares. I'm going to stop drinking ginger ale before I go to bed. Well, anyway, I saw Ted and gave him the stuff and he got away to California okay. I thought I had a hunch that if this was a gag, Ted might have had a hand in it. So I made a few cracks, but he didn't give it a tumble, you know, like he would if he'd had anything to do with it. He can go just so far with a gag and then he can't keep his face straight. But he didn't fall for any of my hints at all. So, man, I gotta forget it. But just for laughs, when I see that Al April, I'm gonna make him show me that sound effects pistol. Believe me. So then I went and did my commercial. The guy from the agency was there. He had the renewal of my contract with him, so... Well, anyway, after I signed it and he signed it, I'm not going to hold auditions for my job tomorrow. So, like they say on the radio, here we are at the bottom of the well. This is no dream. This is the hallway that goes down to Studio 15. And there's Miss Rose. Hello, Miss Rose. Through the door. There's the drinking fountain on the left. And the lights are turned down. It's bright. Yeah, early today. I'm going to be here early so I can talk to Al April and look at that sound effects gun. I'm not dreaming now. Cut it. Studio 15. In the door. Up in the control room. Nobody there. Go in the studio. Yeah, the light switches right where it always was. And the lights go on. Yeah, studio 15, all right. Don't be here yet.
You're all late, Johnny.
Oh, I'm not either. Look at the clock. Oh. Who are you?
I'm Mr. D. I got your note and I came right over.
Note? What note?
The note you wrote me to meet you here tonight.
I didn't write any note.
Why, you certainly did. I've got it right here in my briefcase. Well, got it right here.
I don't know what you're talking about, mister.
Now, just a second. Oh, my goodness, I don't seem to have it after all. But I'm here, so that's all that matters, isn't it?
What'd you say your name is?
D.
What'd you want? I'm on the air just a little while.
Oh, it won't take long, John H. I've got the catalog right here. And you can pick one out in no time. Now, how'd you want to go?
What'd you say your name is again?
D. Ah, here's the catalog.
How do you spell it?
Spell what?
Your name.
Oh, D-E-A-T-H.
There you go. Part one. Oh, look at this.
Yes.
There you go, CW. To use Direct Connect, open the studio page. Click the Direct Connect button. Yeah, that's for me to get in. Yep.
The studio is for you, right. Right.
Yeah.
But there's supposed to be...
Yeah. There's supposed to be a Direct Connect button on your side, see?
Right, on the live page, yeah.
And I think some other...
Oh, we got a good video.
Ha-ha, Blog Talk Radio, thanks again.
There you go. Maybe it'll be there next week. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
They got to feed the hamsters. Make them run faster.
I guess. The hamsters are on strike. They're with the actors. They're in solidarity with the actors and the writers. They're on strike. Strike. Strike.
Go, hamsters.
Hamster
power.
Not good.
Power.
No. Down with the man.
Yeah. Down with the man.
So is this guy. So is this guy, this radio announcer, is he dead or alive? I haven't been able to figure that out yet.
I don't know. It's creepy. If you've never been in a radio station in the middle of the night, a lot of them are in the middle of nowhere for better reception. And it can be creepy at night.
Yeah.
It can be very creepy.
I should try and get a job doing that somewhere in Podunk Town, Desert Town.
When I showed up in the middle of Newberry, Ohio, when the ghoul was doing, FM 108 out here. He had his midnight show on Saturdays. He, that could have been startling to have somebody, hey, can I come in? Clawing at the door, biker-looking dude.
Let me in. I wish to see the ghoul.
But no, he and his wife at the time were very gracious to me, so. That was nice.
Yes, and regarding the morgue, there are lights in a morgue.
Yeah, they all don't know why. Why does there need to be lights in a morgue?
Well,
is somebody going to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night? I hope not. That's kind of frightening right there.
It could be, yeah.
Oh, they stubbed their toe. They stubbed their toe on the autopsy table.
Afraid of a lawsuit from a corpse? Oh, come on. Anyhow, we probably ought to wrap this up. We got a bit of radio left. A bit of radio. Maybe we'll have some bonus time, too, tonight.
We should. We got a few extra things up there.
And if this guy ends up in the morgue, we'll leave a light on for him. We'll be back after the exciting conclusion of...
Hotel 6.
Quiet, please.
Shall we sit down here at the table where I can spread out the catalog?
Listen, Mr. Deeth, or whatever your name is, this gag has gone just about far enough.
Why, what gag, Johnny?
Your gag, my friend's gag. I'm tired of it.
Prosperous as you, John H. You wouldn't want to be found dead in this one. No, sir, you wouldn't be found dead in it. Hey?
Look, Buster, I don't want a coffin.
Then why did you sign an order for one and pay a substantial down payment?
I didn't.
All right. Well, let's get this settled. This model, 23, code name Tired. This will set you back $4.41.23. Tax included, of course.
I don't want it.
Something a little more expensive, perhaps, eh? Ah, here's a dandy. Code name Sleepy. Solid rosewood. Well, practically solid. Hand-polished silver alloy handles, nylon lining in your choice of color.
I don't want it.
Okay. Okay. Ah. Well, what do you know about this for a coincidence?
Huh?
By George, I didn't know this model was in the book. Look at that.
What?
Look at the code name.
Code name? John H.
Man, is that a job? You know, I haven't seen this model yet. Look how it's streamlined. Plastics, too. The latest thing. Real built-in factory-engineered dependability. Finest model we've ever made. And look, it's fireproof. And that coincidence about the code name, the John H. You know what, John H.? You'll be the very first user of this latest model. Stand up.
What for?
My goodness, this is a made-to-measure job, John H. Nothing too good for you famous radio people. Stand right up there. That's it. Now, let me see. Dimension A. My, you have broad shoulders, don't you? Now, let me put this down. There.
Listen, mister, please,
I'm going to get it absolutely right, John H. I tell you, I can hardly wait to see you in it. Stand still.
Listen, this has gone far enough.
Just hold the tape, Major. Now, let me see. 3 inches above your head. Now, 6 feet 4 inches. I didn't realize you were that tall, John H. How much do you weigh?
Well, let's see. I've lost 17 pounds since I went on the diet.
My, my. You must tell me about that. If we have time. 17 pounds.
Yes.
And that makes it...
191.
Oh, my gracious. I can save you a little money then. The oversized models carry a 4% discount, you see. The little ones are harder to make. You're very fortunate, John H. Now,
huh?
The plaque on the lid. See here?
Yeah.
Now, well, we can engrave that with any lodge emblem or, you know. Are you an odd fellow or a moose or anything like that? You are a big fellow, and I suppose you could say in slang that you're a big moose. Get it?
No. The only thing I belong to is the lambs.
Lamps. Lamps. Oh, my, John H., I really don't think we could do that. You see, we carry all the well-known emblems in stock, but the lambs, we'd have to have that engraved, and I'm terribly afraid there won't be time.
Huh?
Oh, you said it was a rush job, remember? Matter of fact, it's tonight, isn't it?
What tonight?
When you ought to be killed. If I remember correctly, you said in your note with the order that a sound effects pistol was...
Mr. Deep, did I write that?
Well, I couldn't swear to it in court, of course, John H., but somebody wrote it, and your name was signed to it.
Well, look, I'll write my name. Is that the signature?
Absolutely identical, John H. Yes, sir, absolutely identical. I remember the curlicues on the H.
I don't understand.
It's perfectly simple. You're going to die, and you need a respectable, refined, late model coffin, that's all.
Are you sure I'm going to die?
Cheer up, John H. Of course you're going to.
You know, I heard that before.
Yeah, it's all over town.
Tonight.
That's what you said.
By a shot from a sound effects pistol.
I saw it in your own handwriting.
How did I know, Mr. D?
I'm sure I don't know, Johnny.
Isn't there any way out of it?
Don't ask me. I'm just a salesman. And you're just a customer. Not that I don't enjoy listening to you on the radio, John H. I really do. And I must say that you're going to be a great loss to the art, science, profession. What do you call it?
It's a living.
A living. And now it's a dying. Mustn't mind my little jokes, John H. I'm an inveterate joker.
Is this one of your jokes?
Oh, no, John H. This is strictly business. Now, did you want to give me a check for the remainder now?
Well,
I think possibly that'd be wisest, considering that, you know how long it takes to get money out of an estate.
Now, look, what if I don't die?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, what if I don't?
Well, you will eventually, John H., and at least we'd have time to engrave anything you wanted on the plaque.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. Is this the gentleman that's going to shoot you?
Huh? Oh. Hello, Al.
Hi, John H. Well, you get killed again tonight.
I do, huh?
Yeah. Says here you do.
How do I get killed this time, Al?
Get shot.
I see. Excuse me, Mr. D.
Certainly. Is he the one?
He's the sound man. Al April.
Very interesting.
Say, Al.
Yeah?
You ever have any accidents with those guns?
No. How could you?
I don't know.
What kind of accidents?
Really shooting somebody.
With these things? No. Look, in the first place, they're loaded with blanks. In the second place, there ain't any place for the bullet to come out, if there was one. And in the third place, I always shoot them at the floor. So how could I shoot somebody?
I was just wondering.
You know, I always wondered how you do sound effects on the air. This is most interesting.
This is Mr. Deeth, Al.
How are you, Mr. Deeth? Your face looks familiar. You in radio?
Oh, my, no. I'm a salesman.
Oh.
Can I look at the guns, Al?
Sure.
Which one you going to use on the show?
This one. Say, what's the matter with you, John H.?
I'm a little nervous, I guess, Al.
Thought you was on the wagon.
Well, I am. I'm just a little nervous, I guess. Let's see the bullets.
They're not bullets. Blanks.
The blanks.
Here.
How do you load it?
Oh, give it to me. There.
Can I shoot it?
Sure. What do you want to shoot it for?
Well, I got to make sure of something.
John H., you sure he's going to be shot tonight?
Yeah, that's right, Al. I just want to test out these shells.
Well, that's silly because... go ahead. But don't point it at me.
Oh, I thought you said you couldn't shoot anybody with it.
Well, you know, the wadding. It stings, kind
of. You'd use these same shells on the show, huh?
Sure. What you scared of?
I got a hunch, Al.
Well, those are the same shells I'll use on the show. Go ahead and shoot. I gotta get set up.
Okay, Al. You asked for it.
Hey, don't point that gun at me. Doggone it. Hey, I told you about that wadding. It stings. Doggone it.
I'm sorry, Al.
You shot me.
There, Mr. Deeth.
Why, John H., you killed him.
That's right. So I'm not going to die after all. Take your coffins and get out of here.
Why, don't be silly, John H. Of course you're going to die.
I am not.
Why, certainly you are. You murdered poor Al in cold blood, and they'll send you to the electric chair.
Yeah? How are they going to do that? They won't have any witnesses except you.
Why, John H., how foolish. What about the people listening to you on the radio? Goodness, John H., don't you know you're on the air?
Oops.
The title of the Quiet Please story you have listened to is A Night to Forget. Willis Cooper writes and directs Quiet Please, and John H., the man who spoke to you, was Ernest Chappell.
And James Monks played Mr. Deef. Al April was played by Murray Forbes. And the sound effects on the show were played by Al April. Others in the cast were Jack Tyler, Kermit Murdoch, Lon Clark, and Polly Cole. Original music for Quiet Please, as usual, is played by Albert Berman. Now for a word about next week's Quiet Please, here's our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
Tonight's show is the 40th in the series of Quiet Please. Next week, for the 41st, I think I'll call the show after the name of our series. Let's call it Quiet Please.
And so, until next week at the same time, and Quiet Please, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
Quiet. Ernest.
Quiet Please comes to you from New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Quiet.
Quiet.
Quiet. So, good old Bob points out that was quite the twist. Yep.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, you never can tell who's listening.
Yep.
I like that. Oh, and I also like the way he ended his program. Listen, I am quietly yours. I think that was something of an homage to Orson Welles always saying, obediently yours.
Maybe.
Could be.
Could be.
Hmm. Should we close out the show with saying, yodeling, pickling yours?
I don't know. Is that pickle? Pickle, he chimed in there during the closing theme song.
Yeah.
He did.
That's true. Yeah, there you are.
That's him. He's present and accounted for, kind of hanging out with the goat from time to time.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess we didn't learn much from that episode, did we?
Well, we could have learned something, I presume.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
I got a little something. It ain't
you just think that over. Erie House Radio proudly presents a careless moral of the story.
Apologies to Gar. Whether you are shot on the radio or you shoot somebody else on the radio, the results are eventually going to be the same.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was.
It was fine. They're just harsh critics. That's all. Those two.
They're harsh.
Very harsh.
Very harsh.
Yeah. Very harsh. Mood. We could use a little mood music here. There we go. It is. After all, it's Erie House, right?
It is Erie House.
Eerie
music. Very eerie.
So, I don't know. Anybody else think of anything good with disc jockeys or radio announcers getting killed?
Well, I was thinking WKRP in Cincinnati. No one got killed, but when they were at their
I remember a turkey got killed.
The turkey, but remember in the remote station, someone had planted a bomb at the remote station and didn't have any way to contact them.
Great.
I remember the movie Talk Radio. The guy, he's a shock jock who gets killed at the end.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, yes.
Gary D always says that was about his life, even though Gary D was alive.
Yeah.
He never got shot.
No. There were some that wanted to. Let me tell you, he was with the original shock jock in Cleveland, and there were people that wanted to shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Before Howard Stern?
Yes.
Yeah, before Howard Stern. Yeah.
Yeah. It was on the local channel here. He bounced around from a few cities, and he was quite controversial here. Mm-hmm. He would stir up fights with people on the radio and say, like, some pretty – he was rather insulting, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Controversial comments he would not be able to make today.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Even today. Oh, wow. Oh, and –
Yeah, because today they seem to be able to say about anything. Yeah.
Mm.
You're right, CW.
That's true. Mm. Mm. Oh, how about the fog where you had – I don't know if it was in the
– Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was in the radio station, running the radio station.
Yeah. Oh, I met her. Very attractive lady.
Oh, my goodness.
She was.
The opinions expressed here at Blog Talk Radio are purely Dale.
Well, that
purely
one was.
Dale.
Sure. Yeah.
I agree.
Just a comment on her attractiveness, that's all. And a fine actress.
And her, fine actress to boot. Well, there you are.
When you go meet them live, that they're not unpleasant. Like, some people are unpleasant, some of the celebrities. It's like, why go if you're not
true? I don't. No kidding. I went to one, and George Takei was there, and he was absolutely just charming beyond all belief. His hand must have been killing him from signing all the autographs. He stayed to the last person until they shut down the line.
How
but
nice.
There was another performer there. He was just divine. There was another performer there who had a hot show at the time. I will not mention their name, but they picked up, packed up, and left to go to their room or their suite. So George Takei stayed there and signed every doggone thing until they were gone. And I just, I think the world and then some of him for doing that. He was just fabulous.
So I think just some celebrities are fan friendly and some are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and we now, and everyone knows who George Takei is. The other actor who had hot show at the time, question mark, his name,
You mean the Riddler, Jack Gorshin? No, I mean Frank Gorshin.
No, exactly. Who is that actor now? Because I'm sure they probably have a few fans out there that may remember them. But
yeah,
this just goes to show.
Yeah.
Now
the trade shows.
What's our next show? Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Fun. No, we're fine, and we probably should get over to the Silver Age with Crisis.
Ooh,
interesting show. This is one I do not have a date for, but it's a show that I thoroughly enjoy. It takes us back to the mid 1950s, and ends up a bit science fiction-y.
Ooh, good. We could use that here always. And a title that matches the name of a broadcasting network in our area, Clear Channel.
Yeah, and that it's kind of confusing because Clear Channel actually means a station in this country that no other station is allowed to be on. You know, throughout the country, there are a lot of stations on the same channel, but they give you 50,000 watts. At one point, I think it's WKRC WABC in Cincinnati for the Crosley Company actually had 100,000 watts for a couple of years as they were experimenting with that.
Wow.
But it went back down to 50,000 because in case of emergency, those stations were the ones with the most amount of range that could cover the entire country in one way or another. That's what the Clear Channel originally meant.
Yeah. And they need to keep that going, by the way. That
they do.
Radio. Because sometimes people are in their cars or whatever, you can be alerted to something big going on in your area.
Right. Ford threatened to take out the AM radio. And after all the complaints and the fact that the emergency broadcasting system kind of started getting on them, they rescinded the AM radio stays.
Amen. Good. AM must stay. AM must stay.
Shout out to the ham radio operators who are on the lower bandwidth that companies don't want. Yay, ham radio people.
Yep. They're communicating across the planet, some of them.
Yeah. I'll have a ham on rye with vegan ham and vegan cheese and a slice of tofu.
Yep. And before we get into crisis real quick, good old Bob, yes, Little Deuce Coupe is very contagious. Now I got an earworm. Thanks. And they were cool cars. A lot of those were the 32 Ford Deuce Coupe was one of the commonly seen hot rods, I think, that people modified in the 60s for racing or just cool effect or whatever. Cool looking cars. But let's go ahead off of that tangent and back into Clear Channel from Crisis. Originally broadcast.
From your guess is as good as mine. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have an approximate date?
I don't have any kind of date on it. No, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, here's Crisis.
Freshen your drinks, gentlemen.
Yeah, how about you, Mag?
I've just about reached my limit, Mr. Baskin. Remember, I have a broadcast to write tomorrow.
Oh, yes, so you do. Well, just bring me one for the road, please, Marilyn.
Right away, Mr. Baskin.
So, in a nutshell, there's our problem, Mike, hanging up there in the corner over the bar.
Television.
Yes, as you know, it isn't just our station. Whole radio industry's getting hit hard.
Yes, sir.
America loves anything new. Television is new. Big sponsors are leaving radio, putting their ad budgets into television.
Yeah, like rats leaving a sinking ship. I guess that's the wrong choice of words.
No, you're right on the money, Mike. But we can't let the old ship sink, can we?
Yes, sir. No, sir.
So, you can understand why I'm going to have to let you go.
Let me go?
Oh, I hate to do it, Mike. You've been doing that evening poetry and chatter program for...
4 years.
Yeah, 4 years, and doing a great job. But, well, look at those darn numbers, Mike. Pulse and Nielsen show the sets and use figures down 20% from a year ago. Now, where are those listeners going, Mike? They're going to television. We can't sell airtime when there's nobody out there to buy the sponsor's product. Our revenues are way off, Mike, and... The stockholders expect a return on their investment.
But I thought you and your family owned all the stock in WEB.
Yeah, but the long and the short of it is, Mike, that we can't afford air personalities anymore. Now, if things look this way in 1952, what are they going to look like 3, 4, or 5 years from now?
So what are you going to put on the air in my place?
Well, what choice do I have? The network's abandoning all us affiliates, cutting out programs right and left, so... We'll just shut down the studio at 6 p.m. and just play records from out the transmitter till sign-off.
We're going to become a combo operation? Make an engineer into a disc jockey?
Well, now, Linus can spin records. He's no Arthur Godfrey, but if our ratings get any lower, nobody be listening anyhow.
Linus is a transmitter engineer. He can barely carry on an intelligent conversation.
Well, I don't want conversation. I want music. Linus can do a station break every half hour, keep the FCC happy.
You're going to let him do live commercials?
Well, no. We'll have some announcer on the day shift transcribe any spots that run after 6 o'clock.
I see.
You just look at it like it is, Mike. I'm not taking your job away from you. Television is.
Here's your drink, Mr. Baskin.
Wait a minute, Marilyn. I've changed my mind. I think I will have another, and make it a double.
The year is 1952. An era is ending, and Mike Sinclair, who is growing gray in the pursuit of fame and fortune on the radio, is once more about to move on, but this time in a different direction. In 1 minute, the Mystery Playhouse hopes to keep you in suspense as we present an original tale by Jim French titled Clear Channel.
And now, back to tonight's Imagination Theater.
Now, it's the next evening, a warm evening in Georgia. The scent of magnolia wafts through the open window of the record library at WEB as Mike Sinclair pores over the Help Wanted columns in Broadcasting Magazine before he goes on the air with his own show.
I heard the awful news, Michael.
Hi, Holly. Yeah, isn't that something?
When's your last day?
He gave me 2 weeks' notice.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Well, it's everywhere. I was just reading where all the radio networks are going to drop a bunch of their programming. Fibber and Molly are going off end of this season.
Oh, I can't believe it. I grew up with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. What are you going to do?
Look for another job.
Where?
Anywhere.
Oh, you won't have any trouble getting a job with your voice and your talent.
I don't know. There's not much of anything in the Help Wanteds. Combo man, must know pop records and news, strong personality, must have car.
Must have car?
Now, that means he has to sell airtime, too. Now, here's one for you. Medium Midwest market, looking for sharp, glib, funny DJ. No floaters or drinkers. Must have car and first phone.
First phone?
Well, you know, first-class radio telephone license.
Well, why would he need that if he's going to spin records?
Because he'll be running the transmitter, too. That's why they call him a combo man. He does two jobs for one salary. That's what Linus is going to do.
Do you have a first-class radio telephone license?
Me? No.
Do you need one to get a job?
Listen, either you're an air personality or you're a knob twiddler. And I don't want to be a knob twiddler. I'm air talent. Knob twiddlers never make more than $2-3 an hour and nobody knows their name.
But they have jobs.
Touché.
So you'll be leaving town?
Yep.
Did you find all the records you need for your show tonight?
Yeah.
Good. Well,
so you're staying kind of late, aren't you?
Well, I wanted to stay until you got in and tell you how sorry I am that you're leaving and all.
I really appreciate that, Holly.
I wish we'd gotten to know each other a little better.
Me too. But I know one thing.
What?
You're one of the best record librarians I've ever worked with, and I've worked with a few, believe me. And so, until tomorrow night at 9, this is your host, Michael Sinclair, thanking you for joining me for Words in the Night. This concludes another broadcast day for radio station WEB. This station is owned by Bascom Broadcasting Corporation with studios and offices in downtown Macon, Georgia, and operates on a clear channel frequency of 610 kilocycles with a power of 50,000 watts by authority of the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. We will return to the air at 5 a.m. with the Farm Report. Now, speaking for the staff and management of WEB, this is Michael Sinclair bidding you a pleasant good night and good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Yeah, Linus.
Am I?
Yes, Linus. Who else would it be? Margaret Truman?
Well, listen, I just heard about what they're doing to you.
Oh, yeah?
I just wanted to say that I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, bad news for me, good news for you. Just think, now you get to go on the air, be a big DJ.
I guess. I never thought about being a DJ.
I better start thinking about it.
Well, I guess I better. They're bringing a couple turntables out here next week.
Do tell.
Mike?
Yes, Linus.
It's television, isn't it?
What's television?
That's taking you off the air.
That's what Mr. Big tells me.
Well, see, I've been working on something in my spare time. I think I can fix it so people won't listen to television anymore. Then they have to listen to the radio again.
Does somebody spike your Dr. Pepper, Linus?
Well, it may not work, but I'm going to test it pretty soon.
You serious? What, have you got a machine or something?
Well, if you want to come out to the transmitter, I'll show it to you.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying you have something that messes up people's televisions?
Sort of. If it works.
Yeah. And if it works, they'll send you so far up the river, it'll only be a trickle.
Maybe. Maybe not.
No. Where is this contraption?
Oh, out here at the transmitter. I've been building it for a long time, ever since it pays to be ignorant went off the air. That was my favorite radio show. I started working on my invention right after that.
You pulling my leg, Linus, huh? You an inventor?
Well, I invented this.
What do you call it?
I don't know. I never thought up a name for it.
You going to turn it on for me?
I might.
Tonight?
I might. I reckon after midnight won't do no harm.
Stay there. Now I'll lock up the station and drive right out. Boy, what a place to put a transmitter. Way out here in someone's cow pasture.
Hi, Mike. Come on in.
Look at that transmitter. Look at those tubes inside there. The big rig, the voice of the Southeast. 50,000 watts of power. You know, this was the biggest station I ever worked for. I figured, you know, I'd work here 5 years, build up my rep, get some good air checks to use as demos, and then hit the big markets.
Well, like Atlanta?
Like New York City, Chicago, L.A.
You don't much like the South, do you?
I like money. To get the big money, you got to work in the big markets. Say, where is this gizmo of yours?
Oh, I got it back in the workshop under the bench. If Laswell, the chief engineer, ever saw it, he'd fire me on the spot.
I'll bet. What'd you do, use the station's equipment?
Well, some. I borrowed some spare transmitter parts, but I made most of it myself. Come on. I'll show it to you. It's back here in the back room behind the transmitter.
I've never been back here.
Well, this is where I fix anything that goes haywire. Here you go.
What the heck is that? It looks like something out of Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory.
No, I built it myself right here in the workshop.
Yeah, so what does it do?
Well, I bridge a feed off the main bus of the final of the 50-kilowatt rig, and I run it through my special frequency chamber, feed it back to the tower, tune it to resonate against whatever TV channel I want to cancel, and then I throw this switch right here.
I don't hear anything.
Well, it's not powered up yet. It don't work unless the transmitter's turned on.
I see. And then what does it do?
Well, it turns a part of our radio signal into a special frequency I worked at. It doesn't change a thing for radio listeners, but it blacks out the TV signal anywhere our radio signal reaches.
How'd you figure out a thing like this?
Oh, I just took my time and did some thinking. And then I went ahead and built it.
You think you could demonstrate it?
Well, sure. Only there's no television station on right now. It wouldn't do nothing but sit there and hum.
Linus, what would happen if you turned this gadget on tomorrow night at 9?
When your show goes on the air, you mean?
Yeah, right when my show goes on the air.
Well, we could try it and find out.
And so, speaking for the staff and management of WEB, this is Michael Sinclair wishing you a pleasant good night and good morning. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Okay, now to check with Linus. Yeah, he must be out back in the workshop shutting the thing off. Come on, Linus, answer the phone. You know it's me. Answer it, Linus. I wonder if messing around with all that power... I'm going to drive out there. Well... maybe I can, no, it's locked. Now, wait a minute. There are windows in back. Yeah. Let's see if I can hoist myself up and get a look. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Linus! Linus! Linus!
Linus is stuck playing at the piano. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he's busy with that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's getting kind of hairy in the studio.
Yeah. Interesting story, but yet. the most interesting is yet to come.
See, we live a life of danger, don't we?
We do. We do.
Here,
especially when we play with electricity. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Ah, yes. Electricity is not a toy.
It's not.
I used to have a nice Jacob's ladder. No. I wish I would have kept it. Oh, my gosh, that was fun.
Oh, that? A what?
A Jacob's ladder. That's one of those things that has the two antennas and the sparks shoot in between them and travel up the antenna.
Yeah.
Oh, it would cut through a piece of paper. It would burn right through a piece of paper, even a piece of cardboard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No way.
It was a pretty powerful. It's nothing you want to take chances with and fool around with.
I would.
You could get shocked pretty bad with a good one, with a good big transformer on it.
Yes. So just for reference, folks, Erie House Radio is not OSHA approved. I repeat, it is not OSHA approved.
Nah, not even a little bit.
It never has been.
And
never
will be. It probably never will be.
Oh, my goodness. But this show is wonderful. I mean, it harkens on the different stages of entertainment. I mean, you had people who were in vaudeville, and vaudeville died out because silent films came. And then you had people who lost their jobs because silent films turned into sound films. And television was rivaling both sound films and radio. Now you have the internet. Dun, 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 dun.
Darn those internets.
Which is, you know, radio has been able to adapt to over the years by, you know, doing what thing and what might be popular, and now even streaming onto the internet with what they have. So,
absolutely.
But less and less places have personalities. There's no reason to tune in to it. It seems like no different from one of our local stations, which was the local powerhouse at one time. What everybody tuned into for news, weather, and everything else is basically a one-man show pretty much in the morning. And then it's just spinning records with voice tracked in between all day long and all night long.
Yep.
Which is so silly. You could draw more people via streaming if you get one personality and, you know, just hone them and help them grow. And then you can get more audience, which would give you more advertisers, which would get you more money, which is why management is evil. But I digress.
It's lazy radio. You know, instead of going out and working to make your local station truly be local. I know that a friend of mine was in radio sales for Erie. Originally, he was a non-air disc jockey. Did rather well, basically because he researched and played what people wanted to hear. But he got into sales because, as Dale knows, there's no money actually in disc jockeying unless you're a top jock. But there is money in sales because you get the percentage or a cut or whatever of the sale. And what he enjoyed doing is we had local high school football games that we would cover, they would cover, and he could sell out as soon as it was announced. He could sell out a game in a day and a half by going to his different customers, and he could sell it out. Why they didn't concentrate more on things like that, and it makes more money. It's lazy ownership / management. That's what it is.
What's the point of owning it? Just because you consider it a feather in your cap or it's some sort of tax write-off? This is WKLZY. We're just going to throw something in there and take a nap.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to
It started with this Clear Channel group buying up about 60 to 65% of all the radio stations across the nation. And then they couldn't get rid of them. And so they just did what they could to start to start cutting personalities. And Joe Cleon, a friend of mine, was a victim of that. And they basically offered him $1 a year more than for his next contract, $1 a year more than what he was making. They owned his image and likeness, and he could go. He would have to go wherever they sent him to, and he told them, up yours. That's not really what he told them, but that's the nicest way to put it. And that was Clear Channel. So,
yeah.
Yes, it's a real competition. He was down in Canton for a while. He was down in Canton for a while. And the day they let him go one day, the next day the radio books came out, and he was number one. They don't even care about who's number one or anything. It's all about turning a buck. Instead of going out and selling his show as the number one show to people, to advertisers, they cut him loose.
Damn them.
It's crazy. No, it's just crazy. That's what's happened to radio.
Now I'm mad.
Incredible.
I'm so mad I want to play a radio program. Let's wrap up Crisis. Clear Channel will be back. The segues just get weaker and weaker and weaker. Here we go. Part two.
Thank heaven you were here, Mike, and called the ambulance and the police. They alerted me, and I called Laswell.
Yeah, I see he's still in the back room.
Checking to see how much damage was done to the transmitter.
What, did you talk to the doctor before they took Linus to the hospital?
Well, he says Linus got a terrible electrical jolt, but he should recover.
Oh, man, I hope so.
Oh, by the way, what were you doing out here?
Well, Linus and I are just good friends, that's all.
Oh, I thought you said Linus was stupid. Barely able to carry on an intelligent conversation, something like that.
Oh, well, we're not good friends, actually. I was out here to... Well, I came out here to coach him. You know, if he's going to be a disc jockey, he has to learn mic technique, how to ad-lib, you know, all that stuff. I didn't want him to go on the air and make the station sound bad.
Well, I must say, son, you may be a Yankee, but by damn, you're a good sport.
Bascom, I've got to talk to you for a minute. Hello, Sinclair.
Hello, Mr. Laswell.
Yeah, what is it, John?
There's something screwy about this.
Oh, what do you mean?
You seen the back of the transmitter?
No.
Come here. If you ask me, Linus was up to something back here in the workshop.
Oh, up to something?
See this equipment here on the floor? You know what it is?
No.
Well, neither do I. But whatever it is, it hasn't got anything to do with this radio station, and he had it hooked up to the plate voltage.
Oh, is that bad?
50,000 watts bad. I think this fool kid was experimenting on something and using our transmitter to power it.
I believe I can explain that, gentlemen.
What does a fool announcer know about broadcast electronics?
Well, see, Linus was trying to improve our signal.
How?
How? Well, how would I know? I mean, I'm just a fool radio announcer. All I know is Linus was trying to make the station sound better.
With this mess of junk parts...
And he nearly gave his life... for W.E.B.
Well, I'm going to take this stuff apart before it kills someone.
No!
What say?
I mean, please don't. Not yet. Why don't we just shove it back under the workbench there, and when Linus gets back in the job, he can explain how it works, and then maybe you'll be able to show him how to improve it.
I think that's a great idea. That's what we'll do. Come on, Laswell, give us a hand here. We'll push this thing back out of the way.
Now, wait a minute. This is nothing but a stupid...
Nothing but genius at work. I intend to reward that young man. And, Mike, I want to see you in my office tomorrow morning.
He wasn't mad at me?
Mad? I gave him a fast line, and now he thinks you're a hero. Bascom called you a genius. When you get back to work, you can demonstrate it to Bascom.
No, I can't.
What do you mean, no, you can't?
I don't dare turn it on again.
But you can be more careful next time. Look, Laswell told us how you got shocked when you were hooking it up to the plate voltage or something.
No, that wasn't how I got shocked.
It wasn't?
No.
Well, then.
Yeah, promise never to tell a living soul.
Tell what?
How I got shocked.
Well, how did you get shocked?
I fainted.
How come?
I was so scared by the man who came after I turned it on, I fainted and fell across a hot wire.
Wait a minute. What man?
Well, you see, at 9 o'clock, just when you started your show, I turned it on.
Yeah?
and it seemed to be operating okay. Then all of a sudden, there was this real high-frequency tone in the air, and it seemed to be coming from everywhere. And there was this light out in the middle of the field by the tower. Well, I went to the window and looked, and there was a bright beam of light coming down from somewhere up above. And the tone was getting stronger all the time. And then where this beam of light hit the ground...
Yeah?
Well, you ain't gonna believe this.
Go on.
Well, where this light hits the ground, this man appeared. And it walked across the field and came right into the transmitter building.
The FCC.
No, it wasn't the FCC. This guy said something, but I can't remember.
Sure, Linus. Listen, I've made you talk too much. You got a terrible jolt. Now, you just lie back and take it easy. I've got an appointment with Mr. Bascom. I'll check in with you later. And see if you can remember what this guy said to you.
Come in and sit down, Mike. Take a chair. That's it. Cigar?
Not right now. Thanks anyway, Mr. Bascom. I just came from the hospital.
Well, how is Linus?
Oh, good news. They said the shock didn't do any serious damage. He's a little woozy and he's talking a little strange, but he'll be back at work tonight.
Well, my boy, I have a little good news for you, too. In view of your heroic actions of last night and your loyalty to W.E.B., I have decided to retain you on the staff.
Well, about
now,
my heroic...
Now, let me finish here. I still need to cut payroll costs, and I truly would like to keep you on our air. So here is what I propose. Clearly, Linus is a little strange, as you say.
No, I didn't...
And so what I propose is that you take his place at the transmitter. Permanently.
How's that again?
You will obtain a transmitter operator's license. I can't be all that hard if a lame brain like Linus could pass a test, right? So, you'll be able to do your show from the transmitter.
And what happens to Linus?
Oh, well, he'll find work somewhere.
But last night you called him a genius.
Yeah, well, I did, but this morning Laswell told me that gadget Linus built couldn't possibly work.
So what did Laswell do with it?
Well, I suppose it's still out of the transmitter.
Hi, Mac. Come on in.
How you feeling?
Lots better. Hey, your show sounded good tonight.
You didn't turn on the...
Are you kidding? Not on your life.
Listen, Linus. Laswell thinks your invention is just a bunch of junk.
I know.
But if it really does blank out television signals...
Oh, it doesn't.
What?
It doesn't. I thought it would, but that's not what it does. So tonight I'm going to take it apart.
But how can you say it's worthless?
I didn't say it's worthless, but I said... It doesn't blank out television signals.
Well, then, does it do anything?
Yes.
Well, then you remembered what the guy in the field said last night.
He said I was interfering with things I didn't know anything about. Said I'd created a set of harmonic frequencies that disrupted intergalactic communication.
What?
Then... I can't remember anything after that.
Linus, hook it back up again. One more time.
Are you kidding? No.
Don't you want to find out?
No, I'm going to take it all apart.
Oh, please, do me one favor. Turn it on and run it, and let's see if the helicopter flies over again.
What helicopter?
The one the guy flew in on. The one with the light you told me about. Well, I mean, what else could it be?
I don't remember hearing a helicopter.
Hey, I'll be right here. Go on, fire up the big rig and turn on the gadget. If the guy shows up, maybe we can make a deal with him. This could be worth money, Linus. Didn't you ever think of that?
Well...
Go on, Linus. One more time.
Okay. Well, help me drag it out.
Sure.
Then I have to open the rear panel of the transmitter and connect the input cable to the plate terminal. Okay, stand clear. I'm turning on the transmitter.
Is it working?
I don't know. There's the tone. It's working.
So?
Now go over to the window and watch. See anything out in the field?
Just the lights on the tower. Wait. Now hold on. There is a beam of light.
Oh, brother, I'm shutting it down.
No. Come here. Look.
No, Mike, I'm shutting it down.
I tell you, no. Hey, the light's moving closer. It's moving toward the building.
It's on the building!
Look at it. Nothing left of it, just the tower and a big hole in the ground.
You should have let me dismantle that fool thing.
How much will a new transmitter cost?
And the building.
And the building.
And the lawsuits.
What lawsuits?
Well, Linus and that announcer Sinclair must have had relatives and Ohio lawyers and be down on you like a turkey buzzard. Unless you can explain how a building, transmitter, and two employees could just disappear off the face of the earth.
Clear Channel was directed by Pat French, with sound created by Stu Conway, Sean O'Meara, and Ben Peterson. Studio mixing by Peggy Stokes. In the cast were Derek Turner, John Gilbert, Rick May, Catherine Odegaard, Jay Green, and Lynn Fenton. This program was recorded before a live audience at the Museum of History and Industry in Seattle. This is Terry Rose speaking.
Terry, you popular devil.
Our program will continue in just a moment.
No, it won't.
It's done.
Because...
Oh, wow. Well, I hope you two don't end up with someone who has a book that translates to serve man. Oh, yikes.
Ooh. A nice little cookbook there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a different kind of. Well, you know what? It kind of does remind me of perhaps a moral to the story.
Oh.
Oh, perhaps I'd be prepared in a perfect world.
Yeah.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Apologies to Gar. If an alien comes to Earth and tells you not to do something, you best not do it, or it just might blow up in your face and blow up your face.
Blow up your face like Marvin the Martian does to Daffy Duck.
You Earth creatures make me so angry. I will shoot you with my D38 modulator.
It's a great character.
Yep.
Great
character.
That was
character. A great
character. Oh, incredible.
Him and Pete Puma are among my favorites. Pete Puma was great. How many lumps you want, Doc?
Oh, gee, four.
Anybody got a coin?
Oh, my gosh. I think I found one on the ground here. Hang on. Yeah? Yeah.
Go.
It's Canadian, but it'll have to do. Sorry, Canada.
Might get half a song.
Pack up all my cares and woes. Here I go while I'm singing low. Bye, bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me. Sugar sweet and honey, so we see. Bye, bye, my blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. All the hard luck stories they all hand me. So make the bed, honey, lie the lies I'm coming home late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye. No one here can love or understand me. All the hard luck stories they all hand me. So make the bed, light the light. I'm coming home late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye.
There'll be some changes made.
Oh, there's a change in the weather. There's a change in the sea. From now on, there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different. My talk and my name. Nothing about me's gonna be the same. I'm gonna change my way of living, and if that ain't enough, I'll change the way that I strut my style. Nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made.
Oh, there's a change in the weather.
Nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made.
The enchanting Dorothy L'Amour. Before that, we had the equally enchanting Dean Martin.
Ah, yes, the five martini Martin.
Oh, the best kind. Gar the Ghoul, are you doing a vault show?
As far as I know.
Yep, I believe Gar the Ghoul is doing a vault show over on the Twitches right after we're done here at 8 o'clock. And,
so what's happening next week on Eerie House, Dale?
Funny, I knew you were going to say that. Because I was reading your mind. That's what we're doing next weekend. Mind reading. For our first show in August, Mysterious Traveler and Suspense and CBS Radio Workshop. All right? And then Saturday, it's the return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. How dare you think that? How dare you? How dare you? That'll be the
Good
theme for next weekend. Yeah. Oh, women could read my mind. I'd be getting slapped left and right.
Smack, 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 smack. There's
right.
Victor Knucklebuster coming down the hallway.
Oh, yeah. With her yardstick
aplenty.
Yeah.
She's got the oak yardstick this time.
I know a band that's called, what the heck is it called? Nunfist. And like the drummer is Satan. There's a priest that's a singer. The guitarist is a nun, dressed up as a guy dressed up as a nun. The lead singer's a nun and carries a yardstick. It's frightening. And it's heavy metal.
Cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Anywho, we'll see you next weekend right here, starting at Friday, 6:30 Eastern. So for me, Dave and CW, see you next weekend.
Eerily yours.
Yeah, right here on Eerie House Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Okay.
And you
dig it?
Show starts in 2 minutes.
Oh, kids alive, audience, something to think about. What? What?
What?
That was horrible. A nasty trick. Okay. I had to fill in 3 seconds. You know, it was fun when I had Eerie House TV and Creepy Castle TV. That was the most fun, was scheduling that, because it was great to have a bunch of commercial announcements, either like an announcement from a celebrity or something silly you made up yourself or whatever, or something to promote the station, yeah, to just stack it all in there and make it fit right into 2-hour slots. And Dave's show, I didn't even have to do it because his almost always come to exactly 2 hours. I love Dave's show. It was 1 hour I didn't have to tinker with for 15, 20 minutes, you know?
Yep. That's what we try to do. Try to make your job easier so you don't have to.
That's right.
Cool. Oh, my goodness.
No, that two-hour format fits so many places, though, because, Dave, you're all over cable, and that's the weirdness show. Of course, the Spaceship Ones are significantly shorter because you don't have, like, a movie to go with it.
Right, they become part of the show.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be, like, 5-minute skits. And I said, this is so much work. You don't want 5 minutes. Let's make, like, 10-minute, like, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Well, the last one we did was 38 minutes long, I think.
Yeah. And CW,
the best one we've done.
Our pal, Lord Bloodraw, who's been on the show here as a guest, he's not only one of the ones that, you know, also does old-time radio. He's been doing it as long as we have, as far as I know. He's also doing a serialized kind of a space centered thing, and he's not Lord Bloodraw, and he is I don't know, some evil guy, Captain Paxar, Star Cadet.
So,
and he's showing like the old time serials with it, you know, just another way to,
like the Flash Gordons and the Commander Codys and things like that.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Still a whole new frontier. I mean, as you said, Dave, because of Clear Channel and mega conglomerates of that ilk, they threw out so many talented people, and now people just say, well, I'm going to TikTok, I'm going to YouTube, I'm going to blog talk, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing and see if I can get an audience, or just do this.
Going to blog talk so the callers button doesn't work. But anyway,
I don't know what is wrong with the show. I mean, I went on to some other live chats while I was listening to the program, and they have that direct connect button.
I've
seen it even beforehand on others too, and I'm just wondering, why are they not around just giving that little info to you?
I don't know if I'm supposed to do something. I don't know.
I want to get off tonight here and get a couple things done. I think I'll check out a couple other programs to see exactly what you're talking about, CW. Yeah.
Yep. Well, in that case, I'm going to do my last duty of the evening. Move that yodeling pig a lot of the way. Get the goat to shove off, because the stage is Mr. I'm mean tonight.
You know, you're making the goat mad.
Good night, Cody Goat.
Think I do.
Good night to the giggling gherkin.
Giggling gherkin. What the hell?
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Good night already!
Whatever you are.
Good night.
Kathmandu.
You guys next weekend.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Night.
Very pleasant.